Not sure this is, oh, there we go. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. We're so glad you're here today. The season of Easter continues. We've had an amazing week in the life of our church. We celebrated the resurrection last Sunday. And we said goodbye to a dear friend on Friday. We're here once again to give thanks and to celebrate what the resurrection means for our lives and how we keep moving forward in faith. So whether you're here in person or watching online, let's say the Lord's Prayer together as we begin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he gave his life. But thank you, Lord, that you raised him up again. And now victorious over sin and death, he offers us eternal life. He offers us forgiveness and peace that is everlasting. Thank you for seeing us through this week, Lord, with your amazing grace. This morning, as we prepare to worship, help us, Lord, to focus on you, to believe in all that you have for us, and to take hold of it by faith today. May we worship you through song, through the word, through prayer, and in every way may you be glorified, even in our giving and responding to your message. In every way, Lord, be glorified today. We ask it in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. This time, let's stand and sing.
Of your
to lead us in prayer. Chester, it's good to see you with us today. Our thoughts and our prayers are with you as we said goodbye to Norma for now on Friday. We are thankful for all that Jesus is to us in our hour of grief and for the hope that we have for the resurrection. We're also praying for Martha Truman, who was not able to have her swallow test yet, still needs a lot of prayer, so continue to pray for her. Pray for others who are traveling, others who need the Lord's touch in their families, in their work life. Of course, we're praying for Ukraine as things still continue on. Merciless destruction happening every day. Fierce fighting, people trying to fight for their lives. And the church trying to minister on the ground in Ukraine and also in neighboring nations. Of course, we're continuing to gather our crisis care kits. We'll take them to district assembly and they'll be shipped off to help those who are bringing comfort and aid to those who are displaced by this terrible fighting. But we pray for Ukraine this morning as well. So with all this in mind, let's come before the throne of grace as Joy leads us.
Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this opportunity to gather together to lift our voices and our hearts in prayer. And what is prayer? Prayer is talking to you, Lord. We sang about the wonderful name of Jesus. Even if we can't find the words other than Jesus, repeating your name brings you close to us, brings us comfort. And dear God, as we're here this day, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. It is my prayer that each one of us will cultivate attitudes of gratitude. You are doing things for us and answering our prayers each and every day. Let us take the opportunities, Lord, to search, to see your closeness to us. You are the kind shepherd. You're the great provider. You're the leader. You're the just and giving God. We're so thankful that you called us. And dear God, I give thanks that when we look at one another, we see miracles. We see the miracle of life. And dear God, you created each and every one of us, and we give thanks. We heard the many prayer requests. We pray especially for Chester in the event of Norma's passing. We loved her, we miss her, but we know she's gone on to a glorious eternity and someday we'll be reunited. We pray for Debbie as she gets over the loss of both parents. And do we ever get over? We travel through the journey of grief. And dear God, I pray for peace in the hearts of these two loved ones. And Father, I pray for Martha, and I pray for others who are struggling physically, Lord. You are the great physician. We believe in miracles. We know there is nothing that is impossible to you. So we put our loved ones and even ourselves, if we're suffering, in your hands, knowing that you will care for us, that you will love us, and you will hold us. We see in our homes every day what's going on in the Ukraine. It's heartbreaking. And Father, I pray that there will be peace established in that area and around the world. I pray that we will have peace in our own country, in our own homes, and in our own lives. Father, give us the opportunity to serve you. Bring people into our lives that we can present Jesus to, that we can be a friend to, and Father, even a mentor. We give thanks for those in our midst who teach us and lead us. Help us to grow each and every day. Father, I pray for our church that we will grow, that we will be a beacon in this neighborhood for the people who are searching. Some of them don't even know they're searching for you. But Lord, we pray that we will draw them in and we will minister to them and we will love them. And Father, I pray for our pastor as he brings us the message this day. May we open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to the words that he brings. I pray for his health and I pray for his stamina. I pray for his safety. Dear God, we give thanks that we have Pastor Tim to lead us and guide us. We pray for our church. We pray for our finances. May each one of us be faithful in giving. And Father, I pray for any that are watching this day that would like to know you better but are afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. We put our past behind us. We ask you for forgiveness, and we know that you are a loving and forgiving God. Father, I just pray for each and every home that's represented here this day, and it's in your Son's precious and holy name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, at this time, as we prepare to read the Word of God, I also want to remind you about giving. If you haven't given yet today, there are plates where you can give on your way out. For those of you watching online, you can go to fairmeadowchurch.org and you can click the Give Today button. You can click the Donate button on Facebook or mail it in to our address here in Munster. But we're grateful for your faithful giving and we need you to be consistent and faithful. So thank you in that way. All right, so let's look to God's Word. We're going to be in the Gospel, of course, the Gospel of John. Picking up where we left off last week, let's stand in honor of God's Word. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. Open your heart to the Word of the Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciple told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is God's word. You can be seated. Well, doubt gets a bad name. And Thomas gets remembered only for his doubt. That's a rough combo for a pretty important dude. So I feel bad for him. Because first of all, doubt is not all bad. Without doubt, we can't move from bad information and wrong belief into good information and right belief, right? You have to question things from time to time. And we can't really grow in our faith. We can't go on to mature faith until we come to the end of immature faith. And so we realize where we had sort of trusted in things that weren't really promised to us, or we had decided that God owed us things, and so we had beliefs attached to that. And we get stuck there if we never realize that that's immature. So let's not consider doubt just something negative this morning. Well, on the other side of doubt, we have faith. So what does it mean to believe? When you think about faith, do you think about ideas or do you think about trust? In verse 27, Jesus had said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." So first, faith and belief involves a decision. The way human beings are built, we can always question something, right? We're good at that. It's part of what helps us survive in a fallen world. But there comes a time when doubting, although it is a live option, although it's not always bad, there comes a time when doubting is no longer in our best interests. Like if a bear is charging at you, standing there for a long time going, "I wonder if this is going to get dangerous," right? Doubting, wondering, whatever, that's not going to help you in that situation. At a certain point, you got to make a decision, right? Either run toward him and give him a hug or hide, right? Lay down and play dead. So there come moments in our life where we shouldn't doubt, but we should invest in a belief and we should take action. So even when we're doubting, don't just put your life on pause. Keep seeking, keep searching, trying to find answers. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrestled with doubt and faith. He said this, "When all is said and done, the life of faith is nothing if not an unending struggle of the spirit with every available weapon against the flesh." So some people have this idea that once I put my faith in Christ, once I believe in Jesus, all of my problems melt away, all of my concerns melt away, I'm just bathed in certitude all the time, and life is just easy from that point on. But it's not true. Because to have faith is to believe. And to believe something is an activity that we do constantly. And so we choose to believe every moment. We struggle in many ways to live the life of faith, and the life that Jesus is calling us to. And we have to be prepared for that battle, for that ongoing struggle. But it's about moving forward and moving through struggles and times of doubt. But faith is an active choice and one that we make moment by moment. But secondly, faith is a gift. So part of how the disciples are able to believe comes from being together in the presence of Jesus. Amen? It's not so much about the physical address, although that made a big difference in this case, but it's about the purpose of the gathering. If you have to gather online, that's a good second best. At least you're gathered and united in thought and prayer and well-being. So Jesus had breathed his last on the cross, and his life returned to God, sort of in an eternal prayer of faith. He said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." But the Father and Spirit breathed it back into his human form as he rose again, restored to life. And then he breathed on them, right? Receive the Holy Spirit. So you see that beautiful cycle of breathing in and breathing out that takes place. And when we're present and attentive to it, it falls upon us. And God originally breathed the breath of life into humanity. And now he can breathe on us in a new way, bringing new life through the Holy Spirit. And that's good stuff. So Thomas wasn't there. And by not being there, he missed out. So that brings up another question. Can we accidentally miss a move of God? Well, we shouldn't go around in a state of anxiety, or we shouldn't be legalistic about this and looking at each other, because Jesus is always present in every human life. But understand this, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force his way into your life. He's not going to force himself into the forefront of your attention. If you want to ignore his continuing influence in your life, you can choose to do that. And if you keep turning the volume down, God's not going to reach over and turn it up. Do you hear what I'm saying? So the life of faith is robust and dynamic in many ways. But God takes his cue from us. So although the life of faith is robust, it can handle many challenges, it can see us through the hardest times, it is somewhat fragile, and we need to handle it with care. Faith is always growing or dying. I'm going to say that again. Our faith is always growing or dying. It's never static. So we need to feed it. We need to water it. And we should avoid isolation if we want to thrive. Amen? If we only feed our doubt, then would we expect faith to be alive and well within us? So think about this when you make your entertainment choices. Think about this when you think of who you spend most of your time with. If you take on a steady diet of shows that are created by people who don't believe in God or think about God, and you're under their influence for hours at a time, what would that do to your faith? Eventually, it might seem less relevant and less present. Am I saying don't take on any entertainments? No. But I'm saying do it in moderation and make the best choices you can. And in the mix of all of that, keep faith-affirming things a regular part of your schedule. Be in the Word. Spend time praying. Talk with other friends who believe. So I don't think Thomas was just at home watching Netflix instead of being with Jesus. But if he had been there, I doubt it would make him love Jesus more. So let's think about that. Worship regularly, gather with believing friends often, and that's one of the lessons of this passage. But for all the trouble we give to Thomas for remembering when he wasn't there and when he didn't believe, let's remember how shocking all this was. Thomas may have just simply been a bit skeptical, wanting to make sure that no one was taking advantage of the disciples. You know, like if a wife comes home from work and her husband has let the Kirby vacuum cleaner salesman into the house. I mean, I guess they don't do that much anymore, but you remember those guys, right? And if there's a new $1,200 vacuum in the middle of your living room, and your spouse is describing to you how amazing it is, and you should have seen the demonstration, right? There's not much you're going to be able to say that's going to make that other spouse think you just made a good decision, right? They're going to question and doubt everything. And so it is a bit that way. When we're not there, when we don't have the experience, we question things, and sometimes rightly so. So maybe Thomas is just thinking, now wait a minute, how do you know it was Jesus? Now wait a minute, let's make sure, guys. A Of course, that also means that he's questioning all of his friends who were there and he wasn't. So we'll balance that just a bit. So I don't know how he was there the next week, even though he expressed so much doubt. Maybe the disciples just went to his house and picked him up. One of them had an SUV with a third row so he could fit in the back. Or maybe he was there first, waiting for them, because he wanted to see for himself. We don't know, but all we know for sure is that the next Sunday, he was there with them. Amen? And guess what? Jesus showed up big time. Amen? All right, so let's think about it this way. The scene in which Thomas extends his hand to touch the Lord, it became a very popular theme in artistry. In our Sunday school class to follow, I have an example of one of those paintings. They always show Jesus there with his side and Thomas poking in to see what's going on there, as if he's a surgeon or something, right? But nevertheless, it's unlikely that Thomas actually did such a thing as touching him, because the evangelist, I think, would have made the point that Thomas became convinced when he touched the body of the risen Lord. But verse 29 speaks only of Thomas seeing the Lord, right? He said, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who believe even though they have not seen." So the impression given by that narrative is that Thomas was overwhelmed by the appearance of the Lord and his words to him, and without any further demonstration, he burst out his confession. Because when Jesus was fully and actually present, it made all the difference. And sometimes seeing and experiencing is believing. Having eyes to see and being in the right place at the right time to see what we need to see, these things can strengthen our faith. So the disciples, notice, they were not able to talk Thomas into believing it. But by being there, they could testify to what they had experienced, and they remained in relationship with Thomas, and they were patient, and it all worked itself out through how Jesus worked and appeared to him. So it comes about that the most outrageous doubter of the resurrection of Jesus utters the greatest confession of the Lord who rose from the dead. His utterance does not simply acknowledge the reality of the resurrection of Jesus, but it expresses its ultimate meaning. In other words, it is a revelation of who Jesus is. It's not an abstract theological definition, but it is personal. And he says, "My Lord and my God." Amen? And that's when it becomes real for us. So Thomas, who we remember for doubt, he is the one who declares that Jesus is God. Amen? And so by holding on to his doubt long enough to get to the place where he could see for himself, he actually surpassed the others in the full understanding of who Jesus is. Well, Jesus responded in verse 29, like I just mentioned, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." You know what? He's talking about us. Amen? We have not seen physically, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Today we have an opportunity to let Jesus breathe on us. Today we have the opportunity to accept Jesus' invitation. Here's what he said to Thomas. He said, "Do not doubt, but believe." Or another way of translating that was, "Stop doubting and believe," right? Now it's time to pivot. You've been doubting, you've been seeking, you've been searching, you've been wondering. But this is your moment. Now, believe. Now, use that muscle. So this morning, Doubt may have served you to get you to this point, but now it's time to make the turn. Jesus is here. Real faith is here. Love is here. So this morning, are you ready to believe? N.T. Wright said it this way. Luke's closing scene, for all its joy and excitement, brings into focus for us the real problem of what happened at Easter. What sort of a body did Jesus have? How could at the same time it be solid and real with flesh and bones, able to eat baked fish and to demonstrate that it wasn't a ghost, and also appear and disappear apparently at will, and at the end be carried into heaven? What sort of a body are we talking about? But if our minds are still reeling from trying to take all this in, and it seems not surprisingly as though that's how the disciples were too, then what Jesus has to say in his last days with them is very practical and points the way to the whole mission of the church. He says, people often ask me, what after all is the point of Jesus dying and rising again? It's no doubt very nice for him to be alive again, but what does it have to do with the rest of us? The answer is here. In a few sentences, which will take a lifetime, and in fact all the history of the church to work out. The church is to be rooted in Scripture and active in mission, and those words that Jesus said to his disciples just before the experiences with Thomas happened, they are what we focus on. Repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to all nations. Amen? That's the difference that it makes. Now anyone and everyone can be forgiven. Now anyone and everyone can come to believe. And so it wasn't just about Thomas working this out for himself so he could have a little more peace of mind. This was about figuring it out because now it's the greatest message ever, and he has the rest of his life to share it with whoever will listen. Repentance and forgiveness of sins are not therefore simply a matter for the individual, though they certainly are. At the heart of being a Christian is the personal turning away from sin and celebrating God's forgiveness. But these two words go much wider as well. They are the agenda which can change the world. And I believe that this morning. So I'm sorry, I can't offer you a version of the gospel where following Jesus is just about you and Jesus. Many people have their own notions of the life of faith and then struggle while trying to live out those ideas. But what if the reason it's a struggle is because you're trying to live out your own notions instead of really living into the message of the gospel itself? And what if Jesus is actually offering you something that you can live by grace? Amen? What if you're not doubting the actual faith of the Bible? You're doubting other problematic ideas that live in your head. Thomas had his own ideas. His limited ideas came, first of all, from not being present when Jesus was there. If you're out there drifting alone and only checking in a few minutes a week, that's not enough to get the full Christian experience. So I want to connect with you. I want to help you get connected to others. You need them in your life to encourage your faith. You need to be with others who care and others who want more of Jesus also. So if you're watching online, reach out today. Just click the like button on our Facebook page there. Send us a message. Comment underneath what you're watching right now. We will follow up and we will help you grow in faith. And if you're here this morning, but the Sunday morning experience is really the limit of your connection, reach out and get involved in other ways. Sitting alone, it's easy to doubt a lot of things, especially these days. And it's easy to have standards for what the community of faith should be that are literally impossible. Like if you expect others to be nearly perfect while you sit back and do nothing, Well, that kind of attitude's not going to get you to a place of robust faith. But if you want more of Jesus, he's there for you. And he has a whole family that you can belong to. So get connected. We'll put some welcome, uplifting content into your feed, and we can give you a place to ask questions, a place to seek some community. And you need it, because that's how you're made. And if you don't think you need it, then you may need it even more. And this morning, Thomas came to the moment where he had to make a choice. In the presence of Jesus and in the company of believing friends, he found the words that had escaped him until now, "My Lord and my God." Let's say that together. My Lord and my God. That's who Jesus is. But you can't say my Lord alone. Not really. Because if he is your Lord, then you belong to a family. Amen? And you can't even say my God without being in the presence of others who also need him, and in the presence of a world that needs him so much. You say it in the company of brothers and sisters. So he's our Lord and our God. Amen. And he has given us a mission to extend his forgiveness to all who we will. And it's a tremendous responsibility. If we hold that back, then something is held back from them. I don't know how to fully explain what Jesus said in this passage, but he said it. Amen? And so there is an integral way that our extension of forgiveness continues the ministry of Jesus in our world. So this morning, let us take it to heart and let it become our mission, that the words, my Lord and my God, would reverberate through every moment of our lives. Amen? The shared life that we have before Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we need you this week. It's been quite a week. And Lord, there are thoughts that can weigh us down in a season like this. But thank you for the risen Jesus who says, come, see, I'm here, I'm real, I'm for you, and I have a mission for you. And Lord, it helps us to lift our eyes above our circumstances and to see that the forgiveness and newness of life that we experience in the presence of Jesus can change the lives of everyone we know, can even change the world. We just believe that it could end wars. We believe it can put relationships back together, even marriages and homes and families. We believe that it can restore friendships. We believe that it can even heal us and give us strength to endure physical trials. And we believe one day even death itself shall be overcome. And so in a season like this, in a chapter of world history such as we are living in, may it reverberate through our lives. My Lord and my God has made all the difference for me. And I know this much is true, that his love lives in me and it is for you. And may that effort bring forgiveness and repentance and healing and restoration to all who we know and love, and many we have not yet come to know. May we be faithful in bearing this message. With your eyes still closed, if there's anyone struggling with doubt, it's really got you, and you really need me to pray for you, then would you raise your hand and just acknowledge it this morning? And if you're at home, just acknowledge it. Communicate with me somehow. I'll be happy to help you and pray for you. Thank you. Well, this morning, if you're feeling renewed in your faith and God is stirring in your spirit, and the words, my Lord and my God, are alive and well in you, and you want to share that, and you want to share the forgiveness and repentance that can change any life, If that's you, raise your hand and raise it high this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, rest on these who are reaching out to touch others with this love and this truth that has changed their lives. I pray, Lord, this morning that we've had a vision of the risen Jesus once again, and that we are living in the power of his resurrection. Help us to be the church, because the world needs it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's say the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now go in sure faith. Keep believing as you go. Know my Lord and my God as your Lord and your God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Join us for Sunday school as we'll dive a little bit deeper into this.